Chair Hansen, can you turn your mic on, please?
Thank you. Sorry about that. I'd like to call to order the May 2nd, 2024 meeting of the Tacoma Civil Service Board. May we have the roll call, please?
Board Member Ballantyne?
Here.
Chair Hansen?
Here.
Board Member Klein?
Here.
Board Member Sexton?
Here.
Board Member Wick?
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance?
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes for February 9th of 2024. And I believe only three of us were there at that meeting. So I believe Board Member Ballantyne and Board Member Sexton were at that meeting?
It says I wasn't. So.
Oh, Board Member Wick, I'm sorry. So would one of you like to move to approve the minutes for February 9th?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor of approving the minutes for February 9th, 2024, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion passes. So before we get started, one thing I want to mention is that we've been having special meetings every week. And because they're on a weekly basis, the time constraints are very limited. And so what we need to do is when Wendy sends out an email on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning regarding who could attend the special meeting, I guess on Thursday, we need to respond right away. Otherwise, it's a hard on her and hard on trying to, you know, cancel the meeting and get the documentation out in time. And so it creates a burden for her. So to make things easier for everybody, if we could respond, check our email at least by Wednesday morning, and then respond that very morning, given the time constraints, that will make things a lot better for the staff.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You know, an email isn't the best way to get a hold of me during the day. You know, if a text would be available, is that, I don't know if that's something you could do or not. I don't mean to cause a lot more trouble for you, but I only have email on my home computer, and a lot of times I'm not sitting in front of it. You know, is there some other, could you call me or text me? Would that be available?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry to be special.
Okay, next item is a communication for information. And a complaint was received from Shanta France, Planning and Development Services. And the jurisdiction discussion is tentatively scheduled for June 6th. And so I believe that is, in fact, has been scheduled. So that's coming up here. Action on matters still pending new business. We have the jurisdiction discussion for a complaint submitted by Jeremiah Martin with the Tacoma Fire Department. Mr. Martin, would you like to come forward, please? And do we have an individual representing the city on this matter?
I'm not representing the city. I'm just
curious. Oh, okay.
No, we do not.
Okay. So, Mr. Martin, would you like to begin your discussion regarding jurisdiction of your complaint?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here. I was previously in our medic program for Tacoma Fire Department. Last year, there was a final that we had, and my complaint is that there was unfair grading that happened. Long story short is we had a practical. So when we go into test days, we have a written test, and then we have a hands-on skills practical that we do. We had six people in our class. Everybody passed our written test. Everybody passed one of the practicals, and then on our second practical, our whole class failed. With our whole class failing, five of them had critical fails. One did not, but there was a fail for just a procedure, but it wasn't a critical fail. And the people who had a critical fail, the way it was explained to us is that they felt like it was the instructor's fault why they failed. And per our handbook, if you have a fail, you're supposed to retest same day, and you can't pass a section if you have a critical fail. So instead of those students having to retest, we were told that they passed, and then I was the sixth student who failed, but it wasn't a critical fail. I was told that even though it wasn't a critical fail and I failed, I would still be doing a retest that same day. So my complaint is that even though our whole class failed, the other five people in my class were given a just right away pass, and I had to retest same day. And I just don't believe that was fair. So this long story short, that's what happened that test day last year.
Okay. And you said that the five students with a critical fail did not have to retake the test, and that even though, and you didn't even have a critical fail, but you had to retake the test. Is that what you said, or did I
correct.
Understand that correctly?
That's correct. That's how it was explained. So after the whole day you're doing your testing, you go in and you just sit and wait in the class. You're not allowed to talk to each other about any scenarios because this is like a blind test in a way. So you're not supposed to get any hints or anything like that from your classmates. And again, yeah, so the other five had a critical fail. And my fail, which again, I appealed my fail as well. And yes, so they had a critical fail. So that just means automatically with that scenario, they fail. No matter what, and then everybody was supposed to retest that same day. They told us in class, like, hey, test days are only for testing, and if you are to fail, you have to test same day, and it doesn't matter. It's like we only had six people in the class. We were done by 12:30, and we could have retested for the rest of the day, everybody else was let go, said that they were passed without retesting. And I had to stay after and retest.
Board Member Klein.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Martin, did I understand in your explanation that there might have been an issue regarding the instructor misguiding the students, and that was the reason for saying that maybe the reason they failed was because they had been given the wrong answer, and then once that was discovered, was that what you were saying? Why they were able to treat the people differently?
So in our class, it was explained to us. So we started our in-person class in February, and then as we're progressing in our training, we have certain tests that we do. And we had drug tests like every other week. So as a paramedic, you administer drugs. And after we would test on a certain drug per our policies, we were told that as soon as you test for it, you are held to that policy. So it wasn't necessarily like, hey, we didn't train you guys specifically for this. We were told, hey, practice, you have a test on this drug on this day. We had our written test on it. And then after that day, after our testing, as I understood it, is, hey, you're liable for what's in that information because you've already been tested on it. So it wasn't necessarily, hey, don't do this because of this. It was more those five failed with a critical fail. Maybe they didn't understand this, even though we were tested on it already. And I was explained as the cadre thinks that it was their fault on how it was taught to us, and because of that, they are going to be passed anyway. So from my understanding, I was like, being the one that didn't do it, I was like, that just doesn't sit well with me. And then being the only one that had to retest after.
But Mr. Martin, but did you retest afterwards?
I did retest after, yes.
Okay. Board Member Sexton.
Ms. Chairman, I wanted to make a motion. Were you going to ask the city if they had any objections first, or could I make my motion?
There's no one here representing the city, so...
Then I would like to make my motion if you're ready.
I just want to ask one question. Okay, and then I'll go back to you. So... what remedy are you seeking for your complaint?
Well, I went through the fire department. It took a little while. And the answers, I never got a clear answer. So when I was in class, I was told that I failed for a certain reason. And then I brought it up per our policies and how we're trained to treat patients per that scenario. And I brought it up and said, you know, this is why I didn't do this particular procedure. And I was still told that I failed. It's like, no matter what, like, it's like, nope, this patient was this way. I'm failing you anyway. Even with the sections of our protocol, I put out, emailed our director, and it's like, well, this is why I didn't do it, because it says I didn't have to. It's not a critical fail. And so with that response getting back, he asked if I would like to appeal in the scenario and the outcome, and I told him that I would. So I appealed it, and I had a meeting with our medical director, so that'd be the doctor that we work under for Tacoma Fire Department, and our chiefs, one of our chiefs, and my union representative was there as well. So we had a discussion for a couple hours upstairs at our headquarters, and I was told that I, per that scenario I had, I did follow protocol correctly. But for the continued course of that patient in the hospital is where I was failing at, not for how I was being trained as a paramedic. So there was no, like, clear explanation or discussion, in my opinion, on all of it. I got two different answers of why I failed. One was a fail that it was not a critical fail or even a fail, in my opinion, if you follow our protocols. And then the second one is, okay, you did follow the protocols, but you failed because of what's going on in the hospital after you get a patient there. And then that was my other problem. It's like, how do I follow something that we have outlined as our guidelines and you still fail?
So I wasn't sure. You mentioned that you were no longer in the EMT program, or you had decided not to pursue the EMT or medic, I guess. I'm sorry, medic is different from the EMT.
Yes. Yeah, I dropped out of it because... It was unfair. So with that alone, on how that was handled, it made me feel like I was the only one being actually tested that day. It didn't matter what the other five students did. They all did their scenarios, had a critical fail. And per our medic handbook, again, it's like if you have a fail, just a standard fail in a scenario, you have to retest the same day. They had critical fails. So that means they automatically failed that scenario. The proctor for that test failed all six of us that day, five with a critical fail and one with a fail. He said I failed because it was an intubation scenario, and I opted not to intubate because of the vital signs that I seen for that patient. So I just stuck with the treatment that I was given or that I wanted to use for that scenario and failed for it. And, but yeah, so I didn't continue that course because I didn't believe that I was being tested fairly. And after I brought it up, it just didn't sit well with me for going back into that class after I brought it all the way upstairs, per se, in our fire department.
Are you asking for reinstatement into the medic program?
Like reinstatement, you're saying?
Well, I'm not sure if you had. It sounds like you had not graduated from that program,
No, I did not. No, I dropped out because, again, I was being graded and treated unfairly, so I didn't want to continue that.
Mr. Chairman, I really object to your line of questioning here. I don't think it's proper. We shouldn't have to hear a whole complaint to decide whether or not we want to hear a complaint.
I'm just asking if there's a remedy that he could obtain through the process.
I think in the written material, he asks a question. And I don't think we're debating the complaint. I don't think that's our job right now. As soon as there's a motion on the floor, we can discuss it. And at that point, we'd be discussing whether or not to hear the complaint, not the complaint itself.
Board Member Sexton, your objection is taken. I'm going to ask the question. Is there a remedy that you're seeking through your complaint?
My remedy would be to get a definitive answer and also to get it to where it's, I'm trying to figure out how I want to.
Mr. Chairman, that's in the complaint. He asked that question, as I previously stated, he asked that question in the complaint. I understand you've been busy, but if we read the written material, he asked the question. All he wants is a question answer.
I understand that, Board Member Sexton, but I need a clarification of the remedy that he's asking.
It's not our job to debate the complaint.
Would you please not interrupt me so I could ask my question?
It's not our job to debate the complaint.
Your objection is taken, okay? So do you have? So could you restate the remedy that you're asking for in the complaint?
My remedy would be that we have a fairer grading process that's done. And also, this program has been going on for a while. So I don't believe, or I won't say I won't believe. It's hard for me to say that nobody's appealed a test question, or they've thought about somebody that would appeal a test question. I was new to the medic program, but in this program, I know that the way that testing's done, you do it in a certain process. This process was done wrong, and I've been getting stopped at every avenue to try to correct this or get a straight answer. I haven't got anything that said, okay, yeah, we messed up. We did this wrong. This is what we should have did, or this is what we could have done.
I kind of get the idea. Now, Board Member Sexton, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we schedule the complaint submitted by Jeremiah Martin, Tacoma Fire.
Do we have a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Okay, is there a discussion or any questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, aye. Nay. Motion passes. Thank you. And Mr. Martin, and we will, I think, Ms. Hobbs will get together with you probably by email to schedule your hearing in the matter.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item is a consideration of, for matters for public hearing. We have nothing with regard to that. The Civil Service Coordinator report.
I have a couple things. One is a question regarding the July meeting. It is actually scheduled on the holiday. I'm assuming that needs to be canceled.
Right, but let's. I don't want to cancel the meeting for the entire month. Is there an alternative date that we could look at for the meeting in July?
Do you want to provide me with some options, or would you like me to send an email and have everybody respond?
Yeah, how's that?
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that.
So you do want a meeting in July? It just won't be on July 4th.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of work to do, so it'd be best not to skip a whole month.
Okay. And the second item I have is just for your information. They are planning to remodel council chambers. They're going to start this remodel on May 22nd, and it's going to go through July 1st. I have scheduled a conference room for us to hold the June 6th meeting. So for June, we will be in conference room 243 on the second floor. Just wanted you to be aware of that.
Okay, and that's this floor?
Where we were before.
Mm-hmm. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Director Fritz, the Human Resource Director report and requests.
Good evening. First, I want to tell you that the remodel will actually be beneficial, I think, to this board as well. What they're planning to do is have a table here so that we can have study sessions that are a little less formal. I think the city council is looking to do that for their study sessions as well. So I think it'll be a big improvement. In terms of my report for you this evening, I just wanted to let you know, if you haven't already heard, that the Charter Review Committee is concluding its work and will be presenting its report and recommendations at City Council in a special study session on Monday, the 6th at 5 p.m. If you're interested in seeing what they're up to, it's pretty... big items that they're working on. All of that and the draft of their report and recommendations is located on their website. You just Google City Charter Review at the City of Tacoma, and you'll find it there.
What was the date of that again?
This coming Monday at 5 p.m., just right here.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We also have 8 requests for waiver of the residency requirement and 1 waiver of competitive examination for your consideration this evening. My colleague, Kat Flores, is going to join me as I have the honor of presenting the first of these requests for one of our human resources analysts.
Thank you, Shelby. Good evening, Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board. My name is Kat Flores. I'm one of the HR analysts here, and one of my departments is the Human Resources Department. So what I'd like to do is share with you some information about an HR analyst role that we are looking to fill and requesting a consideration for a waiver of residency. I have with me, of course, Shelby Fritz, who is our HR director. I'd like to go over a few of the kind of the background of HR analysts from basically a personal point of view. So just as part of the overview that you have the information, you know, I can tell you that HR analysts perform several different professional functions for the city and for the departments that we serve. We are advisor, coach, mentor, and consultant for the departments that we serve in several areas, such as interpreting and applying employment, the laws, the collective bargaining agreements, the Tacoma Municipal Code, and then other related policies and procedures that are in place. So we provide that and communicate that information so the actions taken by the department will be, you know, within all of those areas to conform. Just a couple things real quickly is we do a lot of this, and besides this also, you know, we have an employee relations partnership with our departments, also coaching and mentoring and assisting them for any disciplinary actions that might need to be taken. But then again, there's the information in front of you, and I really would like to turn it over to Shelby Fritz to talk a little bit more in detail about Elise Drennan, the individual we're looking at for the position of HR analyst. Thank you.
And before I get into our candidate that we're excited about, Kat, of course, undersold the position of HR analyst within our department. The folks in these roles are really the heart of our department. They're the face of the customer. They're also the interpreters of the policy, the procedure, and the folks that make things happen. What's really unique about the role of HR analyst at the city, in addition to being public sector, we have very unique civil service rules. So finding someone that can come in with an understanding of how those work, at least to some degree, is a real head start. Our candidate has that experience. Plus, our HR analysts have a unique blend of job responsibilities. They really kind of take on everything for the department. They get every kind of question you could imagine. But their core duties really revolve around recruitment and employee relations. A lot of times those two things don't go together. So finding somebody that has experience in both is really critical for us, and really exciting when we do find them. So the individual we are requesting a residency waiver for is Elise Drennan. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in criminal justice from our very own University of Washington, Tacoma. She's in the process of completing her certification for human resources through the Society for Human Resources Management. And most recently, she's worked for the state of Washington, which doesn't have the same kind of civil service processes that we do, but it's very much in alignment and gives her good experience that will contribute to her work here in the city, help her hit the ground running. She's got over a decade of extensive experience in human resources in both employee relations and recruiting. She's handled just cause discipline, which we, as I've mentioned before, put a lot of thought and weight into making sure that we're doing it right, and that our departments are doing it right. She's got a great understanding of the details of being a human resources consultant, and has lots of experience working with people at all levels of the organization, from senior leaders to employees in the field. And she really set herself apart in this recruitment. So that is why we are requesting the waiver. We did check. She is unable to relocate at this time. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Mr. Chairman.
Board Member Sexton.
Madam Director.
Yes.
I see you. You mentioned there was 22 City of Tacoma residents that the report says we closely evaluated all 22 City of Tacoma residents and discovered that most of the candidates, both resident and non-resident, did not possess the competencies and or experience.
Yes.
Are you saying I'm very disappointed that, you know, 22 residents and you couldn't find anyone. But are you saying that none of those 22 were qualified for this position? Are you saying they weren't qualified, or you just like this candidate better?
They were minimally qualified for the job based on the minimum requirements. They made it onto the eligible list. However, the unique mix of experience that we're looking for, some of them possessed one but not the other. And at least the candidate that we have selected to move forward had both experience in both areas, and that's really why we selected her.
The only candidate that had the experience in both areas.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, is there a motion to either grant or deny the waiver of residency requirement for Elise Drennan?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion or questions regarding the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Nay.
Nay.
Motion passes. We're on to the next, Kristen and Sang and Bree Breeden.
So I will invite Marie Angel, Human Resources Analyst, up, and thank Kat Flores very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. My name is Marie Angel, Human Resources Analyst, supporting Planning and Development Services. Tonight with me, I have Philip Gao, Division Manager, who is joining us via Zoom to request two residency waivers for permit specialist. The permit specialist operates as a central hub for permitting and communications for our customers and for internal staff. Permit specialists provide frontline customer service, answering questions related to permitting and processes, or redirecting customers' inquiries to other departments as appropriate. During construction, the permit specialist remains a central point of contact for the customers as any additional needs arise, including deferred submittals, field revisions, and inspections. Alongside with me, like I stated, I have Philip Gao joining us via Zoom. I believe it's Zoom or Teams, I'm not sure. But he's going to speak on behalf of these two applicants that we would like to request the residency waiver for, Kristen Singh and Bree Breeden. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Good evening, Chair and members of the board. I apologize I can't be there in person, but I thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening regarding the residency waiver for Kristen Singh and Bree Breeden. PDS received approval to receive. Sorry, there's an echo. PDS received approval to add two additional permit staff this year to increase capacity on the team. As we were preparing to go through our hiring process, we had two staff members promote into other positions within the city. This left our team very shorthanded for the past few months, and the impacts have been significant for our customers, creating delays at multiple points in the permitting process. With now having hired four staff to two, we felt some urgency to add staff with current permitting experience to bring us closer to prior performance levels. We find that experienced candidates are usually fully operational within 3 to 5 weeks, whereas candidates without prior experience as a permit specialist can take several months to a year, depending on how quickly they pick up the technical information. I will note that our two project positions will be filled by candidates who are residents of Tacoma, but both of whom have limited to no permitting experience. We place a high priority on increasing representation of the community and trying to hire from the city, but we also request, but we request a waiver in these instances to help us bring our team back to performance levels the community expects. Happy to answer any questions if you have.
I have a question. So the materials that we received indicated that 4 out of the 47 applicants had prior experience that you were looking for?
Correct.
Okay. Were any of those Tacoma residents?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, 2 of the people that were hired off of the 4 were City of Tacoma residents. So we've got 4 people that we're looking to fill positions for, 2 reside in the City of Tacoma and 2 reside outside the City of Tacoma.
Oh, okay. So the 2 people with the 2 Tacoma residents with prior experience have already been hired.
No, I'm sorry. No, I do recall. All 4 of the candidates who had prior experience were not residents of Tacoma, are not residents of Tacoma.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Thank you. So any other questions or comments? Okay. Is there a motion to grant or deny the request for waiver of residency requirement? I think we can do these both at the same time. Kristen Singh and Bree Breeden.
So moved to waive the requirement.
Oh, okay. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Any further comments or questions? Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next one, Alexander Boyle.
Yes, thank you so much. So for the second residency waiver for the environmental lab scientist alongside with me, I have Stuart Magoon. An environmental lab scientist 2 is the second level of a series of 3, responsible for performing lab analysis, utilizing appropriate methodologies and procedures, exercising independent judgment, interpreting data, ensuring quality, and demonstrating proficiency across more than 1 section of the laboratory. I'm going to turn it over to Stuart Magoon so he can speak in more detail about the environmental lab scientist 2 that we're looking to request a residency waiver for Alexander Boyle. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board, I'm Stuart Magoon. I'm an assistant visit manager with Environmental Services Laboratory that I manage at the Center for Urban Waters. I'm here today to ask for your consideration of a residency waiver for Alex Boyle. To add a little bit to what Marie said, the position we are seeking is for an environmental laboratory science 2, and this position performs advanced environmental laboratory work requiring independent judgment when interpreting data. This position requires a bachelor's degree in chemistry or related science with credit hours equivalent to a minor in chemistry and a minimum of 3 years laboratory experience in an environmental laboratory. For background, there were 28 candidates on the eligible list, 5 of which were city residents. We interviewed 6 candidates, one of which was a city resident, and 5 candidates who lived outside the city limits. We have a single vacancy for an environmental lab scientist 2 in the organics section of our laboratory. Alex has the most experience of all the candidates with the specific instrumentation, the methodologies, and the procedures we use at the City of Tacoma's lab. In this specific job area, we're seeking to fill. Alex also has demonstrated strengths with key competencies and a depth of knowledge in the specific area of this vacancy, our organics section. I think it's helpful to note that the job classification of an environmental scientist 2 is used in 3 primary areas of our laboratory, our metals chemistry area, conventionals, and organics, all of which requires different disciplines. Alex's 7 years of experience with the same methods, instrumentation, and software sets him far apart from any of the other candidates. Alex ranked number 1 on the application test and number 1 from our interviews. He has clearly demonstrated a high degree of knowledge, skill, and ability in this specific area to be successful in this position. His prior experience will help accelerate his onboarding and give us relief in a section where we have a vacancy that we need to fill because we are also taking on several new challenging chemicals of concern. There is a growing need for this work, and it is performed in our organics section. Our environmental laboratory scientists perform this critical role to produce scientifically valid results that are essential in informing environmental decisions. With these new emerging chemicals of concern, our scientists are in need of someone who can help with the workload in this area, someone who can jump in and help soon. And typically, it takes 3 or more years to learn and become proficient in the breadth of instrumentation and methods in this area. There is no other candidate that has as much experience as Alex. He has experience with 22 of these methods. The next nearest candidate had experience with only 10. We strongly believe he's the best candidate to fill this need. In addition to his extensive experience with our current instrumentation and methodologies, Alex has experience using some very advanced gas chromatic triple quad technologies, which will help us advance and enhance our capabilities. We are currently planning to purchase one of these instruments at the end of this year. Leveraging his experience will be very advantageous to its implementation. Thank you for your consideration.
Do we have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Board Member Sexton?
Yeah, I've got questions. So there was one Tacoma resident interviewed. Are you saying the Tacoma resident was not qualified for this position?
In my opinion, not qualified to take on the scope of the work within 3 years and be successful in the areas that we need. So for clarity, the Tacoma resident had experience with four of these methods, and the experience was listed as brief.
Do we have a problem with the qualifications for this position?
Well, let me go back to a point I made earlier. So there are a number of disciplines within our laboratory, and this is a broad classification of environmental scientists too. So we had other candidates who were skilled in conventional chemistry and metals chemistry, but they didn't demonstrate the breadth of experience in the area that we need.
So do we have a problem with the qualifications for this position?
Are you asking in the class specifications, or I'm not sure what you're asking me?
Okay, so I asked you if the individual, the resident from Tacoma, was qualified. And I think, I'm sorry, do you want me to continue or? So, you know, perhaps the individual was qualified as per the qualifications on paper, but you're saying that the person you want to hire is over and above.
Well, the person I want to hire is over and above, but what I'm also stating is that to be successful, somebody needs to have experience in this area, in this specific type of work.
So why don't the qualifications, please?
I can speak to that.
Please.
So the qualifications are minimum qualifications, and they're based on a classification specification written to cover a whole variety of specific jobs. What the hiring manager is talking about is there was a group of candidates who met the minimum qualifications. The candidate they're looking to hire and are requesting the residency waiver for had the specific experience as a scientist in the area that they needed to fill the position in. So there are lots of different kinds of environmental scientists. So they had a specific niche area that they needed to fill. Does that help?
I think I follow you here. You're saying for the job that they needed to fill, this person was the only person qualified with the experience to fill this position?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to, be clear. We have a, pretty specific job to do up here. And I think we're all trying to follow the charter and follow the rules. And it says, you're going to hire residents first. So to pass them over, I want to hear that information that this person, you had to hire this person because this is the only person that had this specific skill set.
And we will consider that in our future requests as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
I think I want to clarify something. Sorry, Shelby. There were some other outside residents, non-City Tacoma residents, who also qualified. One with 4 years of experience, one with 3.5 in the specific area. Alex had 7. And we felt through the full process, Alex.
You're saying none of the residents?
Yes. The residents, the highest ranking resident was number 7.
That was the person you interviewed, I take?
I'm not sure if it was number 7 or number 8. It was the person that looked like they had the most experience with the methodology listed on the application.
And they didn't come up to this level?
No. Their experience was more than a decade and a half ago and wasn't to the scope that we felt was.
Director Fritz? I'm a little confused here. I am not sure if this rises to, the only person that could fill that position or the only person that could fill that position was a non-resident. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not sure this rises to that. Could you help me out here?
So I'm not specifically following what you're requesting. The individual in this role was the best of all the candidates. The only candidate that wasn't a resident with this level experience of, there weren't City of Tacoma residents that had this level and this kind of experience. There were other candidates that were outside, non-resident candidates, but they didn't meet the level of experience that this individual had. So our goal is always to hire the person that most closely matches the qualifications and experience that we're looking for. And it sounds like this individual far exceeded those.
Board Member Ballantyne, I think you were trying to make a comment and you got overspoken. Somebody's...
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan answered asked a lot of the questions. I just wanted to make sure that when you put the job qualifications out, I wouldn't apply for a job that I wasn't qualified for. So if the 7, did that match all the requirements? Or did it, why would that person apply if they didn't have all of it? So I'm just saying if it was also, if they had the minimum requirements on the application.
So the applicants that did apply, they did meet the minimum qualifications of the position. But as Stuart stated, this individual that they're looking to hire far exceeded the requirements of the position for them to essentially hit the ground running. So we want to make sure that we're putting people into positions where they're going to be successful. And based off of the information that Stuart provided, this individual far exceeds the requirements of the position in the skill set needed to do the job and do the job well. So even though the other people applied and made the list, this individual here, Alexander Boyle, far exceeded the requirements of the position.
Okay, I understand that, but also I'm just on board with Dan. I mean, we're supposed to look for people that are in the city So I'm just kind of confused. I know that you guys always want to look for the best, but we also want to keep people in Tacoma, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Board Member Klein.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Director Fritz, I'm going to try to make a general statement and see if I'm on the same wavelength as you are. The city of Tacoma has a lot of employees, and you have job classifications for all of the positions. And what I'm assuming the city attempts to do is you don't create such specific job descriptions for every, this person sits on the north end of the building and they're 5 feet tall. I mean, you could, so in this case, what I thought I heard was this is a scientist position. So you say, what are the minimum requirements for a scientist? But this gentleman here has a job for somebody in the science area, but specifically on organics. There might have been somebody for his metals group. This person might not have been the person you would have picked for the metals group. That might have been the Tacoma resident or someone else. And so you're trying to work within a system that sets minimum requirements. But in reality, when you go to fill it, you're filling a specific need, and that can somehow make it look like you're not doing a good job in setting the minimum requirements if this person didn't exactly fit. Otherwise, it sounds like you would have had to do three separate job descriptions. You'd have to have the organics, you'd have to have the metals, and I forget what the third one was.
Conventionals chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that generally correct? Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Board Member Sexton?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of residency for Alexander Boyle, Environmental Lab Scientist 2.
Okay. I second that.
Okay, any questions or discussion with that motion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion passes. Nathan Wood is our next person.
Thank you so much. So again, Chair Hansen, members of the board, Marie Angel, Human Resources Analyst, here on behalf of Environmental Services to speak to a request for a residency waiver for Nathan Wood. Alongside with me is Dana DeLeon. The request is for a regulatory compliance analyst, and I will turn it over to Dana to speak on behalf of this request. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board, I am Dana DeLeon with Environmental Science, and I am in the Science and Engineering. I am Assistant Division Manager for the Environmental Programs Group, and I am here today to ask for your consideration for a residency waiver for Nathan Wood in the position of Regulatory Compliance Analyst. Now, in this position, the reason I am here today is we have a MPDS group, and this is a regulatory compliance group for stormwater permit with the state of Washington. The group that I am, and the regulatory compliance analyst is being hired to help for this group. This group has had 100% turnover in the last year, and we have a principal engineer leading the group. And when we sent out these applications for regulatory compliance, we interviewed seven people for two regulatory compliance positions within this group. We did offer a letter of position to one City of Tacoma resident as an entry-level regulatory compliance analyst. They accepted, and they start next week. Yay. But because we've had 100% turnover in this group, and it is very important for the city to remain compliant with our stormwater permit with the state, that we really feel that Nathan Wood, he emerged as one of our top candidates after the interviews. And we wanted to hire Nathan because he brings 6 years of highly relevant work experience as a senior environmental compliance inspector in the MPDS group for the city of Kent. So when we bring him in, he can hit the ground running, and we really need that since we had 100% turnover in this group already. He has experience in coordinating, implementing, supporting, tracking, evaluating, and reporting on all elements of our stormwater MPDS permit and can help in all elements of our stormwater management program, as well as having general experience with municipal permits and municipal stormwater. Now, Nate, we had 19 candidates who applied for this RCA position. Only 9 of them met the minimum requirements, and we interviewed 7. Of those 7, 5 were City of Tacoma employees, I mean, not employees, residents, and 2 were not. And again, as I said, we offered 1 position already to a Tacoma resident, and then the 2nd position for Nathan Wood is a non-Tacoma resident. So I'm asking for your approval to offer Nathan Wood a position with the City of Tacoma.
Mr. Chairman, I have
Board
a question.
Member Sexton.
If I may. This Mr. Nathan Wood, is he being hired as a senior environmental compliance inspector?
No, he's being hired in our permitting group as a regulatory compliance analyst, and he's not going to be in source. That would be in the source control group. He's not going to be in source control. He's going to be in permit compliance group.
And the reason you're hiring him is because of his experience.
Yes.
But he's not being hired in a senior position.
We're hiring basically in a mid-level position.
A mid-level position.
Yes.
The person from Tacoma was hired in an entry-level position.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion granting or denying the waiver of residency requirement for Ryan Jones? I'm sorry, Nathan Wood.
You jumped ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nathan Wood.
I move to grant the waiver of residency.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion or questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed aye. Say nay. Motion passes. Okay, the next individual is Ryan Jones.
Thank you so much, Chair Hansen and members of the board. Appreciate it. And I apologize for my error on the permit specialist when I was first speaking. So thank you and appreciate it.
Thank you, Marie. I'll invite Joanna Hambrick, HR analyst, up next.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board. My name is Joanna Hambrick, HR analyst. I support the Tacoma Public Utilities Water Department. And I am here this evening with Dina Pollard, Operations Manager at Tacoma Water. We're here this evening to request 2 residency waivers. We'll start with the first one for Ryan Jones as a water utility worker. To highlight a few of the core responsibilities of this position. They assist in the maintenance and repair of water mains and services. They install, operate, maintain, and repair services, pipes, meters, and they operate a variety of equipment and machinery involved in that maintenance repair. I'm going to hand it off to Dina to tell you a little bit more about Ryan.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. My name is Dina Pollard, Operations Manager for Tacoma Water, and I'm here to talk about Ryan Jones and Elijah McClinton. Both of them ranked highly in our interview process. We formed an application review panel consisting of 5 individuals to screen candidates' applications and supplemental questions for transferable skills and abilities required to perform the functions of the water utility worker position. The review panel screened all 227 applications, suggesting yes interview or no interview. All five panelists agreed on 18 individuals to interview. We invited the 18 candidates to interview. During the interview scheduling process, five candidates declined, stating they received a job elsewhere. We then formed an interview panel consisting of four individuals to evaluate skills and competencies, asking the applicants about technical experience, competencies, skills, and additional experience that will help them to be successful in the role. Examples of transferable skills are a Costco baker. You know, they have to carry 50-pound bags of flour and are working inside, hot elements and needing to be on the timeline. So there's long shifts, those types of things. And although this position appears to be entry level, we are looking for transferable skills and abilities required to perform the functions of the water utility worker position. This position is very labor intensive and requires a certain level of drive to succeed. Our main break season is from October to February, requiring long hours in the rain and snow, and we need individuals that have expressed the drive and excitement to perform the duties of the position to be reliable. And both Ryan and Elijah expressed that in their interviews. We need to provide clean, reliable water to our service area. This role is difficult to fill due to the physically demanding work, unpredictable hours, skill shortage in construction, and sometimes negative industry perception. So that is why I'm requesting waivers for both Ryan and Elijah. Thank you.
Comments or questions? I guess I have a question. So the positions that we were discussing previous to these were highly technical positions requiring a considerable amount of education and expertise. And there's two positions here, and I looked at these, and I understand that, you know, that some people can act real enthusiastic during their interviews, and others, you know, maybe they're not quite as outgoing or extroverted, but they still have the drive to do the job. And I'm trying to figure out, do these two individuals that you want to hire, were their skills way beyond those of the Tacoma residents, or did they have, you know, specific skills such as operating heavy equipment or something that set them apart from the Tacoma residents?
Both individuals did have the skills as well as tenure in positions. We have an apprenticeship program, and they have, you know, they have a 9-month probationary period, and then we put them through a 2.5-year apprenticeship program. And that is a big investment for Tacoma Water to put them through that apprenticeship program. We get their CDL, and that is all part of the job requirements. And so we're looking for tenure as well, so that we know that they will stay around in order to hopefully succeed with Tacoma Water and move up within the organization.
Oh, okay. And so were there Tacoma residents who were in the apprenticeship program?
Yes. Yes. So we are actually hiring six individuals, and four of those people are Tacoma residents and are going on in the hiring process. And then these two individuals are outside of Tacoma.
Okay. Were there any other, were there individuals in your apprenticeship program who are Tacoma residents who are not offered a position?
I'm not sure I understand.
The apprenticeship comes after the probationary period. So these individuals will be hired in their 9-month probationary period. If they complete that, then they move into the 2.5-year apprenticeship program.
Oh, okay. They haven't entered an apprenticeship program. Oh, okay. I misunderstood you then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mentioning the apprenticeship program because we are really looking for individuals that are wanting this to be their field for career and longevity and promotional opportunity within Tacoma Water.
Right. Generally, if they're in the apprenticeship program, then they go right into a position. That's what we usually do. But I guess I misunderstood you and thought that they had already completed an apprenticeship program. Okay. They're all on equal footing then, basically.
Yes.
But you noticed that these two individuals seem to have more
the drive and the passion for
during the interview. Is that okay?
Yes, knowing and again having main break season from October to February, knowing that you're going to be out in the cold and you're dealing with water. It could be snowy out there, but we still need to get that water up and running and recognizing that that is the job. This is what we need you to do.
Okay, but these individuals did not have any particular experience or skills that set them apart from the Tacoma residents?
Not necessarily pipe skills, but they do have the skills, yes, the transferable skills that we were looking for to show that they have the drive.
I'll just add, it's not common to hire somebody that has worked in the water industry before as a water utility worker. And that's why she's speaking so much to transferable skills, right? We often will have individuals come from other physically demanding areas. And that's a good transferable skill, showing that they are used to physical work, maybe not in outside in the elements, but that's a really hard piece to find somebody interested in being out in the field 8, 10, 12 hours or more.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from the, yes, Board Member Sexton?
I just wanted to ask you about down here. It says that since January 2023, Tacoma Water has hired 14 residents for water utility worker positions. Could you tell me about that?
We have been fortunate. Well, I don't know that it's fortunate. We have a lot of turnover, and so we have the ability to bring in new individuals to the organization. Part of our work is to also work with the TTEP program. And so in working with TTEP, those individuals are coming from our community, and we're able to bring them on as a project. And then if they are able to get on the list and be eligible, then we're able to hire them into the as a permanent employee. And so because of the turnover, we've had application after application and application after application. And so we have reestablished the list, and we will be doing more hiring this year. So I'm at 6 right now. I will most likely have another 6 individuals. And so we're hoping that we will be able to find some more Tacoma residents that are interested in the position.
Could I ask you, and it's not going to, you know, affect my thinking on this, I don't think, but could, you know, I'm curious about the turnover. Do you know why you have so much turnover?
Promotions. So, again, we are starting with these water utility workers, and then they are able to move into a water service worker position, a water service worker lead position, an equipment operator, a heavy equipment operator. We try to make sure that we are giving them the skills to advance within Tacoma Water. So most of our people, and then we've had a few retirements as well.
Hey, I feel okay about it.
Any other questions or comments? So do we have a motion to approve or deny it?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of residency for Nathan Wood. Ryan Jones and Nathan's been busy tonight. For Ryan Jones and Elijah McClinton, water utility workers.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussions or questions? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All opposed, nay. Nay for me. So the motion passes. And the next person we have is Andrea and Zorna.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board, Joanna Hambrick, once again. I'm here supporting the Management Services Office, Public Disclosure Office. I have James Kaufman with me this evening, manager of the Public Records Office. We're here this evening requesting a waiver, residency waiver for Andrea Enzora, public disclosure video redaction analyst. I will hand it over to James to speak a little bit more about this position and Andrea.
Good evening, Chairman Hansen and Service Board members. I am James Kaufman with the City of Tacoma Public Records Office. We handle all the public records requests and court order requests for the city, including a request for the Tacoma Police Department's body-worn camera and in-cam video requests. The police body-worn camera video redaction positions is an emerging field with little workforce. It's very specialized, merging technology and legal. The police video redaction team does have an open position. It's a public disclosure video redaction analyst position. The analyst analyzes processes utilizing technology to perform advanced redaction of video and audio in accordance with applicable state laws such as the Public Records Act and case law. We are asking for a residence waiver for Andrea. We have an individual in Andrea who can do the job with 5 years of experience. She currently works for Pierce County Sheriff, doing the same work, utilizing the same redaction software packages that we use. We did go through the hiring process. We had four individuals on the certified list. None of them were from City of Tacoma. They weren't residents. So we are hoping to get her on board. We actually, as you probably know, this kind of work is very hard work. It's pretty complicated. There aren't a lot of people out there, and we actually have a very good person in this that will be with us for a while. So thank you.
My understanding was that there were no Tacoma residents by applying for this, so this is a bit of a no-brainer, I think.
Can I ask why isn't there any Tacoma residents? What is this about this that's hard to find? Do we need more training locally, or what is it?
It's a good question because it is hard to find people in this. Typically, there's two ways. Because it's a small community, not many police departments have a body-worn camera program. They're getting more and more. But typically, and we have done this, where we have hired people who don't have skills and we train them. And some can do it, some can't. One of the other ways is to basically hire people from other departments who have the skills, the experience already, who have demonstrated their skills and experience. And we have such an individual.
If I could, just one more thought. Sometimes we get the qualifications on these reports, and, sometimes we don't. I don't know if anything would have been helpful here. If there's no residents, there's no residents, I guess.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Is there a motion to grant or deny the waiver of residency requirement for Andrea and Zorna?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Board Member Sexton.
I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of residency for Andrea Enzorna, public disclosure video redaction analyst.
Second to the motion?
I second.
Discussion or questions?
All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Okay, motion passes. And I believe the next individual, Colton Hensecker, was part of the apprenticeship program and is asking for a competitive waiver or a waiver of the competitive examination.
That's correct. I'll introduce you to Georgia Lewis, human resources analyst, and she'll present the waiver.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. I'm Georgia Lewis, HR analyst for the transmission and distribution at Tacoma Power Division. And I have here with me Kevin Madden, who is part of the TND training, right?
System operations.
Systems operations. Okay. I'm here tonight to ask for your consideration for a waiver of competitive examination for the power systems dispatcher classification. Last month, the Joint Apprenticeship and Training Committee approved the completion of Colton's from the Power Systems Dispatcher Candidate Training Program. This is a request for approval of the waiver of competitive exam to appoint Colton into the Power Systems Dispatcher Classification pursuant to TMC 1.24.570. Colton is currently a Tacoma Power employee and has met all necessary requirements to complete his apprenticeship with an effective date of April 11th. He has competed in an open exam competitive examination in order to be selected for the entry into the training program. Our open competitive process leverages outreach work we do year-round in the city of Tacoma. Candidates participate in a written exam in order to be placed on the eligible list, and successful candidates are invited to a practical exam and oral interviews as part of that process. And now I'm going to let Kevin speak.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. My name is Kevin Madden. I am the T&D System Operations Training Coordinator for Tacoma Power and a NERC Certified System Operator who continues to enjoy my own Civil Service Board appointment that was made in 2015. The apprenticeship and training programs are jointly sponsored between Tacoma Power, Transmission and Distribution Department, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 483. The success of the program relies heavily on the collaboration and dedication of our employees performing the roles of instructors and mentors to the apprentices during their time in their respective programs. The Dispatcher Candidate Training Program is a power industry comprehensive post-journey level program consisting of over 2 years and 4,000 hours of engagement involving on-the-job training, classroom instruction, and ultimately earning a NERC certification. Our nominated graduates' commitment to our trade is highly commendable, and we are pleased to present this request on behalf of Colton Hensecker at this time. Let me tell you about Mr. Hensecker. Colton joined Tacoma Power after successful enlistment in the United States Navy, having served as an electrician's mate on board submarines. Originally from Nebraska, Colton decided to make Washington State his home and Tacoma Power his career. His fondness for the Pacific Northwest originates from being stationed at Naval Base Kitsap after graduating the Navy Nuclear Power Propulsion Program as part of the engineering department of the ballistic missile submarine USS Alabama. Colton completed the Dispatcher Candidate Training Program with an overall average of 86.5% and is a highly valued asset to the System Operations Workgroup within the Power Dispatch Office of the Energy Control Center. This board's consideration of Colton's appointment is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Board Member Sexton.
I move that we grant the city's request for a waiver of competitive examination for Colton Hensecker, Power Systems Dispatcher, and New Journeyman.
Okay. Second the motion.
Chair Hansen, I second that motion.
Any comments or discussions regarding the motion?
If I could, I happen to have some familiarity with the dispatcher position. And for those that don't, it's kind of like an air traffic controller, except for the delivery of electrons, but a whole lot of experience in responsibility for the safety, not only of the workers, but of the public. And so it's a very demanding job, and they work long hours and difficult conditions. So I wish this person well.
I appreciate the recognition, Board Member Klein.
Is Mr. Hanzecker here in the room? Okay. So I guess that concludes. Do we have it for the motion? Okay. So all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion passes.
Thank you.
Any comments by the public? Do we have a motion to adjourn? Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.